all of a sudden Sachs came calling and anthropology and what, you know, and then all of a sudden the big guys. But I couldn't do it effectively without a sales team. And that wasn't something I can afford or even anything. So that's also when things really started to grow once we had that outside investor.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Solomon. If you found yourself here, it means you are ready to unleash the powerful visionary that lives inside you, turning you into an authentic leader who creates influence, impact, and change. Let's get started. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Influencer Podcast. I am so thrilled to have our podcast guest today with us, Indy Lee. Indy Lee is the founder of the beauty and skincare brand Indy Lee, one of my personal favorites when it comes to clean beauty. And this is a jam-packed episode. If you are a beauty junkie like me, if you are an aspiring brand founder, if you are someone who is just aspiring to create any kind of product whatsoever, this is the episode for you. Indy does not hold back. She shares with us her long decade plus journey of how she went from ideation to literally having one of the top clean skincare brands in the entire country that is now sold on Ulta, Nordstrom, you name it, it is there. And I just really loved how transparent she was with the process, how open and willing she is to share what she's learned and her journey, and just to give us not only the inspiration that I think that we need as brand founders or aspiring brand founders, but really the applicable. How do you actually make it happen? How do you get from step one to step 1,000? And that is jam-packed in today's episode. So with that, my friends, let's get started. Hi, Indy.
Hello there.
I'm so excited to have you here today. Thank you for being with us.
Are you kidding me? It's an honor. It's an absolute honor. I'm super excited about the convo.
It's going to be fun. I feel like we met... Gosh, maybe it was like an hour and a half ago, year and a half ago.
It was a little longer than that.
It's longer than 90 minutes ago. Year and a half ago by this point in Nashville, Tennessee at a creator influencer event. And it was a great event because for me personally, because I had seen your products all over the place, but I hadn't tried them yet. And there's one particular boutique in Rosemary Beach, Florida called Pish Posh Patchouli that sells.
Oh, yes.
And it's one of my favorite little boutiques to go to. I mean, I know you're sold in so many big, you know, conglomerates, but I think I remember first seeing you there and I always just find really magical things there. And it had caught my eye and then I get invited to come to the event and I meet you and your incredible team. And then the best part about it is I got to hear your story and then I got to try your incredible products, which we're going to be talking about in just a moment. So I would first love for you to share and, you know, our audience is so amazing. We have so many just brilliant minds, creators, creatives, entrepreneurs, coaches, brand founders, aspiring brand founders. And a big question I think so many of them have on their minds and their hearts all the time is like, how do you actually go from this life kind of event that gives you this idea to just create a beauty brand? And then how do you actually get it on end caps and stores and packaged and in a box and like people buying it? And I mean, it seems so big and so much because it is, but I know that you had to start somewhere. So if you could just kind of share from that magical day in some ways of Earth Day, kind of ended up being a magical day for you.
It was a magical day
till you saying, okay, this is my calling. I have got to create this skincare line.
Absolutely. So I will say that the magical day wasn't even on April 22nd, which is when I did wake up from brain surgery. It was on November 4th of 2008 when I was diagnosed with the brain tumor. And I was basically jolted into realizing that, and this all happened within 15 minutes of getting the phone call and driving to the doctors, that I was one of those people who was a check the boxer. And I was checking all the boxes of what I need to accomplish, but never sat back and said, what am I living life for? I was a passenger. I wasn't the driver of my life. I was really accomplishing things that I thought I had to. And never really thought about, well, what do I want to? And what's my purpose? And that's when I decided that I was going to live the rest of my life, no matter how long or short it was, with purpose, with passion, be fully present. And so when the doctors told me, you know, I had 6 months and it could have been something as simple as what I was putting on my skin or what my mother had put on her skin when she was pregnant with me, that was really the magic moment that I said, oh my gosh, I know why this is happening. Because I really swore that this was going to unfold and something incredible would come out of it. I just had to be open to it. And so I was in a neuroendocrinologist's office and he said it could have been something as simple as what I was putting on my skin. I'd already known the lack of regulation in the beauty industry, really understood that you had to be your own watchdog, that people were really interested in reading the ingredients on their food, but not their beauty products. And in that moment, I said, that's what this is for. And I walked out of the doctor's office and I turned to my best friend who drove me. And I said, I'm going to create a skincare line and it's going to be safe and it's going to be effective and it's going to look beautiful on a shelf and I'm going to educate and empower people. And she looked at me, she goes, you know nothing about this. I said, I know. And she says, okay, we'll figure it out. She now manages warehouse ops. To this day, she's still with me. But it really was that simple. I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew this was my calling. And so between the time of diagnosis on November 4th, 2008 and surgery, I started to talk to every aromatherapist, dermatologist, chemist, holistic practitioner, everybody I can get my hands on, estheticians, about skin health and really, and started to dive into what is in products because I had 6 months to live. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure this out. It gave me something to do other than woe is me. And so I was either working on the brand or working on finding a doctor who would give me a different diagnosis and prognosis. As you know, I found a doctor who was willing to do it. He did surgery on Earth Day. I woke up to the rest of my life and they said, we got everything. And 2 months later, I turned on the website, which I had already had like kind of done, but I was like, I better make it through surgery before I turn this on. But I had already had some products. Now you have to realize, I said I was eco-chic. I had delusions of grandeur and cannot believe that most of those came true. But this was not what it was then. It was me making the products in my house, learning Illustrator. So, you know, please know I didn't go from waking up and all of a sudden this brand that's in Ulta. That's not how that happened. But it really was, I would say, for the first probably 6 years, by hook or by crook, it was like boutiques. You know, small little chains, things like the Clean Beauty, like Credo and things like that, which, you know, had already started to recognize that, okay, here's this OG brand. And so that's how it started. And then I was very, and it was literally figuring it out as I went along. Important caveat, asterisk, I am a CPA. So before I started this company, I think it is a little bit important to explain that I managed International's finance division for HBO. I was a CPA. I understood business. I understood a chart of accounts, all of those things, which I think is not something to be overlooked.
Just popping in real quick to let you know about a new training that I have that gives you the 3 steps to grow your following and land 10K brand deals in just 30 days, especially if you have a small following and no more time for content creation. Now, this class is perfect for you if you are ready to really build out a clear and concise content strategy that helps you grow. If you're ready to grow your following by creating engaging content so you can attract the brands that are willing to pay you, if you're ready to land paid brand deals from the content that you're creating so you can diversify your revenue streams, and of course, make content creation and content strategy your full-time career so you can have more freedom in your work and flexibility in your schedule. Now, this class comes packed with a ton of strategies as well as some free bonuses that you will not want to miss. So head on over to pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to join. There are multiple times available so you can make any time work for you no matter where you are. Again, that's pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to get all the details. Well, I love that you mentioned that because I think a lot of times when someone wants to dive into this new endeavor that seems so foreign and different from what they've normally quote unquote done, they don't understand sometimes how beneficial the background can be with where they're going and what it is that they want to do. And I think what I see a lot of times is people will shun that of like, oh, well, I used to be a nurse and now I want to go and, you know, create my own line of, you know, cups, or, you know, I used to be an accountant, but now I want to create my own jewelry line. Like, what are those two things going to have to do with anything? And it's like, just stay open because you may be very surprised.
1000%. And it's so funny because I used to say, oh, I didn't want to become an accountant. And now I'm like, oh, I'm glad my mother forced me to do that. Shh, don't tell her. We won't tell her to watch this.
But it's really, it's your understanding of the numbers and how they work and the forecasting and the projections and all of those things that probably allowed you just to have a little bit of a one-up with certain sides of the business.
Absolutely.
But of course, there were so many other sides. And we've got to back up because, I mean, this is such a, I mean, you're a miracle, first off. Thank you. And this is such a miraculous story of like, okay, so I'm either never going to wake up from brain surgery or I'm going to start this skincare line. You know, it's like that in and of itself is remarkable. So when you got the diagnosis that you had a brain tumor, and it could have been for a lot of reasons, but it could have been simply because of the products that you were putting on your skin, you were like, okay,
I have now. It could have been something else. We will never know. I always want people to realize that. I am not blaming any product or any. We will never know. But what we are seeing is that 2/3 of all autoimmune diseases, and that's what they feel this is, are environmentally derived. That 75% of all autoimmune patients are women. And I think that's the important message. And that's certainly the platform that I'm coming from is, do you realize that we need to start thinking about what environment really means here?
So good. And so you just said, I don't know if I'm going to be around to see this, but I'm going to start learning what I need to learn. And why, we know why you chose skincare, but what was that next step? Like if you wanted to create a clean beauty brand, I don't even know if clean beauty was it even didn't. Like a term back then.
It wasn't.
And so
I'm old.
And so how did you make this happen? Like what was it for first the idea of the formulations and finding, you know, chemists or, I mean, how did it all come about?
Yeah, I was so naive. I don't think it was that logical, to be honest with you. It was sort of like, okay, here are some things that I want that I can't find that are clean because it wasn't really around. And I wanted to be an elevated experience. And so I started to create a couple of products in my house. It was that simple. I didn't want to be a farmer's market brand. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's not what I wanted. I really wanted to scale. But I started out as that 100%. And I was doing it myself. And then I was like, okay, we need a contract manufacturer. And I got hooked up with a chemist. And then it's like, okay, how do we then elevate these things? Okay, what do you know? What can we do together? And it happened so organically that before I knew it, it had been, you know, 5 years. And I'm like, we need to change packaging. We need help. I need to take a salary at some point. And, you know, it was just one step at a time. And I think that's something that is so different now than it was then, because now you have to have the entire business plan. You have to figure it all out and blah, 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 blah. But it was the industry was in its infancy then. So there was no rule book or guidebook here. You know, it was like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. Okay, I'm going to continue to talk about what's going on in the industry. Never fear mongering. And I also think that is a big difference between us and maybe some other brands and why it was so palpable, not even palpable, but relatable was I never bashed a brand. I'm never going to bash a brand. I'm never going to tell you what you should do and shouldn't do. That's not my role. I'm just providing information so that you can make a choice based on knowledge that's best for you. And okay, great. Now I need a cleanser. How are we going to do that? Okay, great. Now we need a toner. How are we going to do that? And it went like that until I said, I can't do this anymore. I need help. There are only like 3 of us. And I literally said to the universe, if something doesn't happen, I can't continue. And that's when I got a phone call or an email from Lori Perella Krebs, who said, hey, I found your line, blah, blah, blah. Would you be interested? I work with a private equity company. And I said, how about now?
How about yesterday?
Exactly. And we talked for probably 2 hours. And we like to say we dated, but like almost a year later, we got married on paper and they invested in us. And then it was really off to the races because it was now, okay, how are we going to do in-store selling? Okay, how can we do co-op? How can we get a, you know, a warehouse that can be set up to do EDI? All of those things that I couldn't even figure out how I would even get there.
Right.
I didn't have that experience.
And so to take it back, and I think that such good stuff here. So in how many years had the, had you been doing your thing with you and the two other people before you got that email?
6 years.
6 years of you just learning what you could learn step by step by step.
I was supply chain, accounting. I was helping out with creative. I was social. I mean, it was real.
And did you have like an e-commerce at that point?
Yes.
Okay. And then would you go to like you said, farmers markets or like little boutiques and in towns?
It was all independent retailers. Mm-hmm. So, at that point, one of my business partners, she was really handling sales at that point, and it was going into boutiques. I didn't know anything about the retail side. So early on, before anybody else was doing this besides my best friend and I worked at a co-op, which then allowed me to learn about retail and the importance of retail marketing, which I did not know anything about. I'm an accountant. I did not know anything about merchandising. So that really helped me get an understanding by working there and really understanding how you sell to people and what they're interested in, having those one-on-one conversations. That was an invaluable experience that I got like in the first year.
Yeah.
But then it was like independent boutique by independent boutique. And then we got into Henry Bendel's. And they launched us on shelf, I think it was in 2014. 2015, and then all of a sudden Saks came calling and Anthropology and what, you know, and then all of a sudden the big guys. But I couldn't do it effectively without a sales team, and that wasn't something I can afford or even anything. So that's also when things really started to grow once we had that outside investor.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so what I love about this is that just your, I don't even know if it's a willingness. I mean, it was just, this was what you did. Your willingness to just keep going for those 6 to 7 years, doing what you could do, is what led to the stepping stones to then finally get that email. Because if you would have tapped, if you would have said, well, I'm not in Ulta and I've been doing this for a year, or I've been doing this for 2 years or 3 years, and you know, Nordstrom hasn't called me yet, so I'm just going to quit, it wouldn't have led to that beautiful conversation. And I can only imagine that that email and that conversation and that opportunity, it led to you understanding more things that you didn't know.
Oh my gosh, I have learned so much from this. It has been one of the most beautiful gifts. I am one of those people who believes if you're not learning, you're dead. And I still to this day, I learn something new. And I have to be willing. I think one of the important things is for entrepreneurs to be willing to be wrong and to be willing to learn new and to understand that things continue to change. You know, it used to be Moore's Law, which is like technology changes every 18 months, right? That was way back when.
Right.
It's changing at a rate that we can't even catch up. And I think it's important to realize you have to continue to evolve on a regular basis and be open to asking for help, because there's no way everybody can know everything. And I always say that's my superpower. I have no problem asking for help.
Oh, and that was leading into the next question that I had for you, because I think that there's a lot of this. And from, I just think any entrepreneurial experience, a big piece to the success pie, in my opinion, is how willing you are to be fully supported by other people, places, ideas, things, whatever that is. The more that you tell yourself that you can do it on your own, the less successful you'll be. I don't know one successful company that does everything on their own, but I think there's a misconception about that. You know, people see that. So I would love to hear your take and your evolution, because I'm sure now you've been able to meet a ton of other clean beauty brand founders, you know, brand founders in the makeup sector, just so many different types of brand founders. And I'm sure you all just kind of mastermind and share your goodness, the ones that you've been able to build beautiful relationships. But early on, when it was just you and your two, you know, friends, you didn't have that. So how has the evolution of you allowing yourself to be fully supported contributed to the growth and success of the brand?
That's a phenomenal question. And I will say, I'm very proud that I was so open early on. And the other thing I would do is I would ask for help. I wouldn't even just be willing to receive it. I would actively go to people and say, who do you know? how do I do this? Can you connect me? Help. And it literally was that. Every day, okay, I don't know how to do this. Okay, who can I tap into? How can I ask for help? But I think the important thing is now as you start to go to events and you start to be known in the industry, it's certainly easier to then tap into these people. But I think the other part of it is being willing to then give back to and say, okay, you know, I get calls all the time by people who would like to found a brand and they're like, can you get on the phone? I'm like, absolutely. What would you like to know? And I think that's the important part of giving back too. But I think it was really just, okay, I'm struggling with this. Let me ask somebody. Here's a brand that I admire. Let me figure out how I can reach the founder. And I would just cold email. Hey, love this. This is why. Do you mind? Can we chat? I don't think I've ever been told no, because it was just from like, hey, I would love to get some insight onto this. Would you mind? I will be very succinct. These are my questions. Do you have 15 minutes?
Boom. See, and even that, I'll be very succinct. Do you have 15? These are my questions. I think a lot of times people either feel like people are going to say no to them, so they don't ask for help, or they haven't taken the time to really get clear on, okay, what am I asking here? And those two pieces to the puzzle, I think, are vital.
Yeah.
So with that idea of you continue on, you're getting the support, you're not afraid to ask for the help, you get the Henry Bendels, the Saks, they're starting to call. So now you're kind of at this new, it's like the next chapter, this new, it's all an evolution of growth. So now it's a new evolution. Where is the brand right now? Where are you right now? And what is happening in that phase?
So at that point, it was, of course, getting outside funding. And then we have a sales team. And then that's when the big guys, because I know that they were interested, but we couldn't support it. So then Blue Mercury, right? Then Nordstrom, then Ulta. And so it happened so organically. But I also think that was because we were open to it and because I had the guidance of somebody who already knew how to build brands, which I didn't have the experience. And saying, help, I don't know. I am willing to be the face. I do not know these things. I am going to really lean on you and I will do what you asked me to do, which is, I know it sounds a weird thing, but I didn't know. And I knew that. And I wanted what was my main goal? Success of the brand, success of what I wanted to do, which was change the industry. It wasn't just about me being at this, like, oh, I'm that person. No, it was about the brand. It was about the education. It was about the empowerment. And that's what one of the things that I love most about the people who invested in me, Lori, wanted to create this platform for me to be able to educate and empower people on this transformational change. And that was really what then started the brand, which is where it is now.
And that's what I wanted to ask about more. When it comes to the brand of Indie Lee, what does education and empowerment mean? And how is that utilized to really drive just the promise of the brand and what these products really entail and create?
I think part of it is, you know, if you go on our site, you're going to have like, okay, what's in it and what does it do? And I think that's an important part of it. I think on social, we do a lot of talking about plant ingredients and what's in the products. I will never say, it's not like I magically did this. Like I did not create this plant. It was just doing the research with a team that understands and okay, let's share what we know about it. And it's really just from that place of sharing and not fear-mongering that the brand naturally grew because it was an optimistic brand. You know, this was about hope. This was about optimism. This was about self-care, but not in the, you know, not in the cringy way that people sometimes refer to it. It was really about taking care of oneself. And I truly think that the best way to do that is to educate yourself about what you're putting in and on your body and what you're surrounding yourself with. So let's give you some tools, right? Let me talk to you about this product and why I love it and why it works for me. Okay, let me talk about this ingredient and why we're using caviar lime, you know, things like that as our glycolic. Like, so it's that type of education of just sharing instead of browbeating, I think.
Oh, well, speaking of that, let's get into some of the fun stuff, or me just being a skincare junkie and loving all things beauty and skincare. So there are some products from your line that I love that I want to talk about in a moment. But I first want to hear, because from the iterations of this, what was the first product that you launched with?
The Coconut Citrus Scrub.
Okay. And then from there, you've had many, many, many launches. Why the Coconut Citrus Scrub as the first?
So before I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And I was put on a form of chemotherapy called methotrexate. Methotrexate did wonders for getting my RA under control, but it wreaked havoc on my body. I looked like a snake in terms of like snake scales. My skin was super dry, super itchy. And I wanted a scrub, and I realized I couldn't find anything without some nasty stuff. But also I found that most of the scrubs that I bought at like typical farmers markets were oil and then a sediment, which is a death trap for me in the shower. But more importantly, I found like I always had just either had all the oil left or all the sediment. And then I said, oh, coconut is solid at room temperature and super nourishing. Let's do it with that. And then it wasn't a death trap and it was solid, but you just scoop it out with sugar, you know, throughout it. Okay, but I want it to be experienced. So we're going to put some, you know, essential oils in it. And that's, you know, we have lemon balm and lemongrass and vanilla in it. And it was like, okay, there's that product. And it changed my skin for me. And what I loved is after I used it, I didn't need to moisturize. So all of a sudden I was exfoliating all the scales. I no longer looked like a snake. And I had beautiful legs again that were super smooth. And so is my skin. Aha, I'm on to something. What else do I need when I'm not exfoliating? Okay, let's do some body oils. I'm a big fan of oils instead of a lot of lotions. Some lotions can have very harsh ingredients in it. This was something that I could obviously do at home. Okay, let's create a couple of oils. Did that. Then I said, oh, this oil works on my face, but I want something a little different. Did research, found out squalene, the unhydrogenated version of squalene, could be derived, which is part of your skin's sebum, can be derived from botanical sources. Yes, by sharks, ours is not. But I was like, wow, olives, that's why Mediterranean skin, you know, so beautiful. They use a lot of olive oil. Okay, how do we do this? And so it went. And it literally was like, okay, what do I need? Okay, what am I looking for? Okay, what's part of your skin? How could we do this? Speaking with a great chemist who understood what I wanted to create was also very big. There weren't a lot of green chemists back then, but now we get to work with some of the world's leading chemists. But we still work with the same one that I worked with in 2010.
Oh, that's awesome. What a special journey. And you know what you said, I think it's so important. A lot of times people, when you talk about products or offerings, they're like, well, I don't know what to create. And it's like, well, usually you create something that a past version or a current version of you needed.
Like, exactly.
That's what you create. You create something in the marketplace that you can't find yourself that you're looking for.
Exactly. And that's how it went. I mean, it wasn't like it was now where, you know, there's 20 zillion brands out there,
right,
which is wonderful. I know people go, oh, how do you feel about that? Well, it means that I was successful. I actually helped create change in the industry.
Which is what you set out to do.
Yeah.
And that's something I want to touch on because you did mention that earlier that, you know, back when you were starting, the industry was so new. There wasn't a rule book. There wasn't Google searching that you can do. And I think that it would be easy for someone to maybe think, well, that would make it easier, right? Because it wasn't so competitive and it wasn't so this and it wasn't so that. But, and maybe to some degree that's true, but I would feel, and I would love your take, that you actually had it a lot harder in certain ways because you were leading down a path that had never been led before. So you had to do a lot of the pitfalls and the trial and errors and the mess ups and wasting the money and the time and the resources and the energy that now, yes, it's more quote unquote competitive, which is a good thing. You don't want to be in a dying market. You want to be in a competitive market. But it's also the stuff that you had to do that maybe took you weeks to do, someone could probably just Google search at this point and find it in 10 minutes. So just speak to me a little bit on, you know, because you have seen the landscape change so much, how that iteration has gone and what, you know, maybe some of the benefits that someone would have now coming into a landscape that maybe is so quote unquote saturated.
Yeah, well, and it is, I will admit it is saturated. I think some of the benefits now are there are so many green chemists out there that are willing to have it and understand what it means. And you've got stores that are putting together what their threshold for clean is as well. So there are these parameters, because there only used to be like Whole Foods parameters in terms of what it was. There really wasn't any like, okay, this is what our creed is for, you know, what clean beauty is. And so I think today it's much easier to go and say, okay, here's a brief, and I need it to be this retailer compliant for clean. And most of the chemists in the clean industry will know what that means. I didn't have that. I had to do the research on the ingredient and go, do I feel okay about this? What's the rating on it? Okay, well, that's also a lobby, so I have to take this with a skin of, you know, grain of salt. Okay, let me go, I have the physician's desk reference for naturopathic medicine, which was like my Bible back then, you know, how to figure it out. There wasn't this. Now it is infinitely easier to get the information and work with chemists, whether you're private labeling or creating your own bespoke product. It is much easier. Also, ingredient technology is far more superior than it was when I first started. We didn't have these things where you have, you know, three plant stem cells that I'm able to use now and all those things. It wasn't there. Now it is. So I say that's the benefit of starting now. But the benefit of starting then was there was nobody else was doing this. So it's, you know, each one has its benefits and, you know, its deficits. And I always say, you know, comparison is the, you know, is a thief of joy. So I can't look back or forward. Just this is where I am, and have to take some level of pride of where we are.
For sure. And just what's been able to be had and built because you made the choice to make that first step and to really be the contrarian and to really lead in a market that didn't exist. You found the white space and you filled it.
Yep.
And now we as consumers get to reap the benefits of all your incredible products.
Thank you.
There's so many that I love. The restorative eye cream is like hands down just ridiculously good. The brightening cream, the brightening cleanser, your CoQ10 toner this summer. This winter, I've been having more redness than usual. So I've actually been using the correcting, it's green, the correcting cream.
Is that amazing?
Game changer. So good. It's such a game changer. It just kind of neutralizes, especially for anyone like me. I get rosacea around my nose. Ooh. I have just a little bit more sensitive skin in the winter months, and it's just kind of red in the T-zone. And it's so restorative. Like I feel like it's really taking care of the barrier of my skin.
100%. I use it every day.
It's
and what
beautiful.
I love, and this was something that we all put, like the team was going back and forth on. Do we put it in a jar or do we use it with a doe foot? And you know what I have to say? One of the young women who really runs with the NPD said, well, this will cover your entire face. And people who have redness don't necessarily have it just in a spot. They'll go through the whole thing.
Right.
But what I loved about what we've done is it is skincare first. Yes, it has color correcting benefits, but it is skincare at its core. You've got the niacinamide. You have the Tiagrogra. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful product. I do not go a day without using that product.
It's so good. I just started it around Christmas time, and it's been great. And then I love your blemish stick. Like I was having some breakouts, and I was at Pish Posh Patchouli in Rosemary Beach, Florida, and I was like, "What does she have? What does she have? Ooh, blemish stick. There you go. Done.
Yep.
That's great. It's easy to travel with. There's so many of the product. I could keep going on and on.
Oh,
I want to hear from you though. What is a product launch that I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
I'm going to start with, what is a product launch that you are the most proud of? I know I'm asking you who your favorite child is.
Well, it's interesting. My favorite child is not one that gets a lot of recognition. And I'm concerned about it continuing, but it is my favorite, which is the Eye Recover Mind and Body Gel. It is a thermogenic gel. It is like hot and cold. It's just so phenomenal on any of my joints, on my muscles, and the scent profile, it's got menthol in it, has some eucalyptus, but it also has some lavender. It's just beautiful. That is like one of my favorite products, hands down. I would say in terms of proud of how we launched it, I'm really proud of how we launched Hints. I think we did a beautiful job of really creating a new space or like a new area in skincare, somewhere between makeup and somewhere between skincare with hints, just that hint of tint. I'm really proud of the team and how we made it relevant. And the products are beautiful. The SPF 50 that really does work on all skin tones, truly, as well as the color balances and the Hydra Stick. I'm just so proud of it.
And I just love, because you just, the hints and the tints also kind of brought back the senses for me, which is also smell. I'm someone who I love for my natural products to smell good. I know for certain people, smell can be sensitive mm-hmm. for them. And so they can't have things that smell. I know that you have things that do smell and things that don't smell.
Yep.
But you have the brightening cleanser that smells like strawberry. And it is, it just brings me back. Like I want to know like why strawberry, I mean, obviously the strawberry enzymes are in it, but why strawberry? Why did you want it to smell that way? How is strawberry chemically involved in the makeup of that? I think I said it right with the enzymes. If not, please correct me.
The strawberry seed oil is that. And then you also have tomato from lycopene. So that, you know, that gentle exfoliation. And the scent was really because we wanted something sensorial. You know what I mean? Like this is a new brand. And when you got Clean Beauty back then, now realize that was been in the line probably since 2010. It didn't always smell that great.
Right.
And so that was one of the reasons why I think it's done so well is because it has that. Now, these days, I'm not necessarily looking for that. I am the cleansing balm all day, every day.
I love, because I do a double cleanse. So I'm a cleansing balm and then I'm, more of a bubbly yep. wash.
Like a lather.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And so again, it just, that's kind of how it goes. You know, we were like, okay, we want it to be sensorial. These days it's like, okay, what are the ingredients doing for it? It changes as you change it. And more importantly, as ingredient, again, it goes back to ingredient technology. Yeah. What is available now was never available. I laugh. I used to say I was 80-20 for clean when it comes to my like beauty products. I'm probably 100%, right? Like, boom. Because the makeup wasn't there either.
At all. And the makeup that was there wasn't there.
No.
It was like, here's eyeshadow. And it's like, you know, the plastic eyeshadow that we used to play with when we were kids.
That's exactly what it was like. 100%. And like now, I'm wearing blue that's from Mild Beauty. Like, yeah. What? You're getting this beautiful red. You're getting, you know, everything. I can tell you definitively, every product on my skin right now is clean, like squeaky clean. I'm using Mild Beauty. Gen C is a great new brand. I'm wearing RMS lip, which I love. I'm wearing OG on my, you know, a little bit of blush. I'm using Mob mascara. I mean, it's just what you are able to now get in that area that you couldn't is phenomenal. And the payoff is beautiful. The lasting is fantastic. So again, it goes to what I could do and what brands could do when I started back in 2009, 2010 was not even on the board to what we can do now.
And it's so fun. And I was going to ask you some of your other just brands that you personally love. So thank you for sharing those.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love it. It's something that I'm doing more on my personal social is sharing other brands. I know people don't go to the brand to then hear about other brands, but you know what? I'm going to start sharing them. And I have started sharing them on my personal Instagram and TikTok because I want people to know the brands that I love, that are clean, that I approve of, that I have seen significant results from or payoff, et cetera, or that I believe in the ethos of.
I love that so much. And I think it's just, like you said earlier, it's about paying it forward and giving back.
Yeah.
And it all comes out in the wash with that. There's no bad karma.
No, I don't. It's just not who I am. Yeah. I'm a fatally optimistic person, I think. I just truly believe to lean into light and love. I've always just been that way. And that doesn't mean I don't have bad days. I always say, I know what a bad day is and I'm grateful for it. Don't know a good day unless you've had a bad, and I do have them. But I do always lean to the positive. But again, if my goal in life is to educate and empower. It's not just about my brand. It's about other brands too. So let me start sharing that a little bit more. And I think in the beginning, I know in the beginning I was reticent to do it. I didn't know how it would be perceived.
Right.
But then I realized people are actually want to know what I have to say. You know, and it goes to self-confidence too. Like, oh, wait, people want to know what I have to say. Okay, I'll share it with you. Yeah.
And I want to know, for the person that may be listening, and let's say that, and of course it obviously depends on what are your skincare needs, what are your, you know, everything that happens there. But if someone hasn't tried the Indi Li skincare line yet, and this is going to be their first introduction into this incredible line, because there's so many magical things to choose from, what would be your recommendation of start here and then see what happens? Right.
Well, there's two ways. Number one, I do think that our brightening cleanser, CoQ10 toner, squalene facial oil are the cult favorites. So like, obviously everybody loves them. You should absolutely. I say that, but then I'm going to talk out of the other side and say, I always say when you're switching to a clean product, what are you running out of? Let's talk about sustainability. If you continue to just buy, that's not sustainable. But more importantly, if you have a reaction, you're not going to know what product it is too. So that's why I always say, when you're about a quarter of the way, you only have a quarter left, that's when you start to do research and say, okay, what's in a line that I want to try that will fill that need? So, and then what are your concerns? If you're somebody who doesn't like scent, then probably the brightening cleanser is not going to be the one for you. You know, if you're like, well, I have the toner, another toner that I love, but I want to try, you know, another product, but I have, let's say you have more sensitive skin, but you want something with vitamin C. Well, then our daily vitamin infusion is the right one. Or like you said, you're struggling, you know, you struggle with redness, color balancer. I want you to have that light bulb, incredible experience when you try one of our products. So I really want it to be what you're missing. And that's the product I want you to try. Because I believe I won't bring out products unless I believe in it anyway. And that's not to say that some don't go away, because I might have believed in it, but not everybody else did. You know, you never know. But I want people to fill that void that they haven't been able to find with our product. And then they're going to fall in love with the rest of the line. I always say a trier is a buyer.
Oh, that's good. And well, that leads me to just one other, my own personal curiosity question. Has there been a product, because obviously you love them all, you're not going to put your name behind something that you don't believe in, but was there one that hit the market that just really surprised you with either the feedback or, you know, how people were using it or what they were saying or anything like that?
Oh, that's a really good question. I have to think about that one. I think some of the feedback that I was surprised at how well it did out of the gate. Let's say it that way. A daily SPF primer. Hands down, I knew it was a beautiful product. And I will tell you on here on video 52, not a stitch of foundation. I just used the color balancer and the SPF primer because it has a little bit of that tint, plus it neutralized. And I don't think my skin's ever looked this good. And I'm proud of how I look at my age. I just did not expect it to be like in the top five out of the gate. That does not happen. Considering we launched it with one retailer to begin with as an exclusive. So you never know how that's going to go.
Right.
But wow, it hit and people were like, holy macaroni, this product is incredible. SPS 50 has a little bit of tint. Works on almost every skin tone there is. Glow. Just, I knew it was fantastic, but I love to hear everybody going, wow. So I think it's that. And again, I think that's why I'm so proud of the hints category, that and the color balancer. I'm so happy I'm able to provide a product that has really helped so many people in their journey and their relationship with their skin.
It's a beautiful takeaway. One more question here, because I know that we've got a lot of listeners that, you know, and kind of how we met at a content creator influencer event. And there's a lot of creators and influencers that listen to this podcast that use your product, that are probably already organically promoting it. But, you know, they want to help spread the word. They want to, you know, work with brands and partner with brands that they truly love and align with. So my question to you is, how has Instagram and TikTok played a role in the growth and awareness of Indie Lee? And what advice do you have to any creators that are listening on, if you want to partner with a brand that you love, do this?
Great question. I don't think that my brand would be out there as much as it is if it wasn't for Instagram. Remember, I started before TikTok. I might have started at the time of Instagram, and that was just free, like, advertising at that point. Just hard work, a lot of hard work. But I think that really helped because it was a way to reach the masses without a significant investment other than time. Obviously, that has changed significantly to the creator economy. So I'm forever grateful for social media. I am forever grateful to there are people out there who started with me in 2010 and they're still part of the tribe. They still absolutely are Indie Lee, like diehards, and I love that. And I met them on Twitter at that time because that was really the, like, it was Twitter and it was Instagram. It's so funny to see how things, like, Twitter was like Instagram Live because you could talk back and forth back then. But that really did significantly help awareness for a brand that had no money to be able to put towards advertising. And I would say now the most important thing, at least for me, so I can only talk about how I look at it, is talk about a brand. I find so many people slide into our DMs and just reach out like, hey, and I'm an up and coming influencer. Can you send me products? I'd love to talk about your brand. And I would love to, but please realize that costs me a lot of money. And I don't send sachets, I send full size. And so talk about a brand first. Try it. Again, show why I should work with you. You know, I want to, but it's got to make sense for us too. We're also a business and it's very expensive. And there are times that we have paid creators and not one sale came in. And that was money and I think that's the other side of it that people have to realize. And it wasn't that the post didn't do incredible because the post did, but it didn't mean that people then went, they interacted, but we didn't see this huge influx of sales. And so I think that's the part for brand, which is why I do love this affiliate type of relationship. You love our products. You know your community is going to love it and you're going to stand by it. Become an affiliate. I will absolutely send you the products to do it, but then promote it and you'll make money. We all win here. So I think that's another way also. Unfortunately, I'm not a brand that has all these, you know, millions of dollars just to try working with all these influencers at every level. I wish I did, but I don't. But also I think, you know, some creators should also show how they like to use it. So I know, is this going to make sense?
Well, and thank you for being so transparent about that, because I think that someone could see, you know, you're in Ulta. That must mean that you have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to throw at influencer marketing. And that's just not the case.
That's just not the case.
And so I think just the reality of that. And I loved what you said too of, you know, if a creator, because you've got two avenues here. As a creator, you can either help brands convert in sales or you're going to help them in brand awareness. And maybe you help them in both, one mm-hmm. or the other or both. And they all have an important part to play. But where the ROI comes in is the creator having a really keen understanding of which lane do I fall in? Absolutely. Do I help brands convert? Because maybe that's the goal for this quarter or whatever. Maybe it's more brand awareness and that may be the goal. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's both. Yes. But you're not going to know that if you don't ever try the product first or become an affiliate first. And trust me, I've never known a brand to see a creator just knock it out of the ballpark in affiliate sales and be like, well, okay, that's cool. It's like, no, they're probably going to want to work with you and do something with you if they see you knock it out of the park. So like, show them what you can do. Show them what you're made of. Yeah. Show them how much you care.
I think this, and it's so hard because I know how hard it is for creating. I get it. Like, I'm like, oh, I should really do a post. Like the amount of time and energy to edit, to figure out the music, any intros, outros, changes, all those things. They're so smart. They're so savvy. It's truly like a little like commercial. And I want creators to understand, I get that. And I appreciate that. And I am not minimizing your time either. But you have to also realize it also costs me money. And so how do we work this together? Because I need to have a return so I can continue to go.
Exactly. 100%.
And that's how, and plus, of course, I want to work with creators who organically already talked to about it. I get it. And I also understand it's hard if you're a new creator and you're like, hey, listen, I'm just starting out. I get it. But you're already using products. So show the products that you're using and you love.
Exactly. And don't show them once. Like if you're consistently using a product, whether it's jewelry, a coffee mug or whatever it may be, it's already part of your daily life. So it shouldn't be that hard to consistently share when it feels good and organic for you.
Yeah. It's just people, I think that sometimes people don't realize the expense that it is for a brand to pay without having any existing relationship, or the cost that products at our level that are clean cost. It's, they're not pennies. This is significant money. And if you, and my DMs, we can have hundreds of direct messages from people who want free product in a day.
You know, I heard from a brand once, and I think this was just kind of a benchmark that they used, but I liked it. They go, you know, we expect a 4X return on a deal. So let's say we pay a creator $2,000. Like, we expect that creator from that project to then return $8,000 to us.
Yep.
So like, if they can't do that, then we're not going to work with them.
Right.
And so it's, I think that for creators, and again, this is about building relationships, because there's a human being on the other side of that brand, just as much as there's a human being on the other side of that content. That's where you really have to root into the ROI and ask those questions. Talk to the marketing team, talk to the PR team, see what their goals are, what their budgets are, what's worked in the past, what hasn't worked in the past, you know, how they really see a working relationship. It's about relationships
and less transaction. And that's really it. And I'm happy to always get on the call. I mean, and do Zooms and however to see how we can make, but it's got to make sense on both ends. Yes, there's a certain amount that's awareness that we will, of course, be seeding and sending out. But when it comes to actually paying for content, it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for being so transparent and candid with that. And I hope
hopefully
that
didn't
just
piss anybody off, but
no, I hope that it just reminds creators and that, you know, we're all running a collab, you know, it's all about co-creation and co-collaboration, but we're also all running businesses. And so just as much as you expect an exchange and a transaction, there has to be a mutual energetic exchange on both ends.
Absolutely.
And so I hope that this just empowers and inspires creators to, you know, really dive into the content creation, really dive into wanting to build relationships. That's what I harp on people about so much, is about that relationship building piece. And I promise you, you will land the right type of collaborations and partnerships that you're supposed to land faster and easier than ever before if you put people first.
Absolutely. And listen, I have no problem if a creator reaches out to me personally and saying, hey, how can I work with you? What is the best way? Let me buy this product, or hey, can you send it to me? This is what I'm going to do. But sometimes we do it. In the past, we've done it, and it just goes into a vast black hole. And what you realize, unfortunately, for those creators who are in it to actually do the content creation and be true influencers, creators, there are other people out there who are just like, I just want free products.
Right.
And they're unfortunately,
they ruin it for the rest of us. So we have to, like, it's kind of like the used car salesman thing, right? Like, you're going to have the sleazy, slimy people. I don't care what industry you're in. And then you're going to have the amazing, integral, beautiful, ethical people. So you get to choose which lane of that you get to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
And then drive that forward.
Yep, absolutely.
It's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today and for letting me just selfishly, like, fangirl over your incredible brand and business.
This has been amazing for me. So I truly appreciate such thoughtful questions. I love this.
Oh, well, thank you. And like always to our listeners, if you heard anything today that was interesting, intriguing, exciting, inspirational, anything like that, we want to know what those are. So I want you to tag me and Indy Lee. We're going to share that in just a moment to let us know what your biggest takeaways were. And then, of course, I'm going to just be sharing some of my favorite products in the show notes, along with some that Indy shared today. So if you guys want to dive into the incredible line that is Indy Lee, I definitely recommend doing that. As you all know, I don't bring guests on that I don't personally believe in and think are amazing. They're products that I have personally tried myself as well. And so I put my name behind it. It's a great line and you will not be disappointed once you really find the ones that you love. So with that, Indy, where can people find Indy Lee, follow Indy Lee, all of that good stuff?
Sure. Obviously, we have a website, Indy Lee, IndyLee.com. Instagram, we're Indy_Lee and Indy.Lee on TikTok. I would say if you want to reach me, I have a personal Instagram, Indy Lee, IndyLee. Please, my DMs are always open. I did this to create a community, which means I want to be a part of it. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me personally, even if it is those questions. I think people are always surprised when I absolutely love that part, but I've developed some of the most beautiful relationships with people who took a chance at just reaching out to me personally. So I invite you to do that. I am on TikTok, the Indy Lee personally, but I would say I spend more time on Instagram lately.
Awesome. Beautiful. Well, thank you again so much for being here. I really appreciate it. As always, thank you so much for joining me today and every week here on the Influencer Podcast. If you're wanting to dive deeper into the topics and discussions that we have here, I would encourage you to head over to juliesolomon.net and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It is in our amazing newsletter community that we are able to really support you on a much larger scale. And I love to do a ton of amazing things that I send inside your inbox every single week. So just head over to juliesolomon.net. You'll see a little spot there that you can add your information in, and you will get on the list and start receiving all of that good stuff.